and then we'll get into our text. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to be here this morning. Thankful for the opportunity to look into your word. And Lord, there are great truths in this text that we are insufficient to communicate. We are insufficient to understand apart from your help. So Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would be our helper this morning and would teach us these things. We so often overlook our needs. So we pray that you would reveal them to us this morning. Do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Give us ears to hear and a heart to believe. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You're right, I haven't. Well, I'm more mixed up than a termite in a yo-yo. The mic issues, I'm going to blame it on that. So we'll pray that the Lord would add a blessing to the reading that we're about to do. All right, I apologize for that. Mark 10, beginning in verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Thank you. Now be seated. And the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his word. So Max, if my mic just keeps messing up, you wave at me and we'll just shut her down and do it the old-fashioned way. All right? Blind Bartimaeus. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus has healed many people of their physical ailments. This text provides for us another healing, but this one is a little bit different than the others. For the first reason, this is the last miracle. It will be the last miracle performed by Christ before his death. But in this miracle, unlike the others, the recipient is named. He is Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. Mark commits a redundancy here because Bar means son of, so his Jewish readers would have understood by his name that he was the son of Timaeus. But not all of Mark's readers were Jewish. So therefore, he added the clarification, the son of Timaeus. It's evident he was known. Perhaps his father Timaeus was known. Matthew Henry believes that Timaeus was also blind. Whatever the case, he is known, and in the early centuries of the church was probably a member of the church, was probably a believer, and they would have known him. The other reason this miracle stands out is because the request by Bartimaeus stands in stark contrast to the request by James and John just a few verses earlier. You remember their request was that they would sit on the right hand and on the left hand of Christ when he came to his glory. They wanted positions of prominence. Isn't that spiritual? Bartimaeus comes humbly and simply asks that he may receive his sight. And his request is granted. Now, this miracle does provide some interpretive challenges. We'll go over those real quickly. Matthew and Luke record that there were two blind men. That's not as difficult as the skeptics would have you to believe. And I'll show you why. I want my son Aaron and Mark to stand up, if you would. Now, if I tell you Aaron is standing up, is that a correct statement? Should that statement be used by you to conclude that Mark is not standing up? Absolutely not. Thank you. I appreciate you guys rolling with that. So leaving one out doesn't mean that the other is not included. It simply is that Mark chooses to focus on one individual. The other challenge in this text is that Matthew and Mark both have this miracle occurring as Jesus is leaving Jericho. And by the way, this is New Testament Jericho, not the Old Testament Jericho that was flattened. Luke states that this occurred as they were entering. And probably these events covered a large area of Jericho and didn't happen in one single area. And also it's true that it could be stated that I am leaving when I am still present. Right? In other words, if someone asks, where's your wife? And I say she's leaving, she may be in the parking lot. She may be in the foyer, but still she's leaving. Right? So we should not make too much of that. Whatever the case, this event took place around Jericho, and this miracle, are we still having issues? Good deal. This miracle reminds us of the proper way to approach Christ with humility and understanding our position. And so as we examine the healing of blind Bartimaeus, I want us to notice three categories of this event: his condition, his petition, and his restoration. Condition, petition, and restoration. Notice, first of all, in verse number 46, they are in Jericho, and as they are going out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. He's blind. And blindness is a considerable physical malady. It affects everything that a person does. Occasionally, if I get up during the night, once in a while, I get disoriented because the room is super dark. And sometimes I can't find where I'm going. I run into things and I don't know what I just ran into. I just know that's not where I want to be. But that's not the same as being blind. And in our day, there are a lot of resources for individuals that are blind. At Pastor Joe's church, he has a young man that's a preacher. And Pastor Joe's one of my friends, for those of you that don't know him, if I provide some context. He pastors a church in Maryland Heights. And he has a young man that's called to preach. And this young man, because of the day and time that he lives, is able to study theology and to read commentaries and all sorts of things that would not have been available to him not too many years past. Especially in this day and time, for a person to be blind, it was truly debilitating. It truly presented great limitations on what they could do. Didn't have a whole lot of resources. I remember when I was a boy, there were these department stores called Roses, R-O-S-E-S. And as when I was a little boy, there was always a blind man sitting in front of Roses in town, and he was playing a guitar, and people would put money into his guitar case. That's how he made his living. That's how he gained sustenance. Well, Bartimaeus is blind. But he's not just blind, he is destitute. He doesn't have anything. He doesn't have many resources. He doesn't have a lot of funds. He is truly destitute in every sense of the word. We know this because he sat by the highway side begging. That's what he did. He would, every day, wherever it is he slept, wherever he was, he would find his way to the highway side, the main thoroughfare, and he would sit there begging in hopes to gain enough funds for his daily sustenance. Bartimaeus' condition is similar to the one who is lost. A person that doesn't know Christ, and if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you are not a believer, let me tell you this morning that you are blind. Ephesians 4 and verse 18 says that the understanding is darkened and there is blindness in the heart so that you cannot see the reality, the spiritual reality. You cannot see the beauty of Christ. It doesn't make any sense to you when people get excited over, I'd rather have Jesus than anything. It doesn't make any, the beauty of Christ is not something that you see. Under the spiritual things don't make a whole lot of sense to you. When someone tells you that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, that doesn't make any sense to you. You don't feel as though you are a sinner. Why? Because you're blind and destitute. But it is a great day in a person's life when they realize their own spiritual poverty. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the poor in spirit. Jesus is not, in the Beatitudes, in Matthew 5, he is not placing he's not saying a person is blessed merely because they're poor. He is saying, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. That is, the person that realizes their spiritual poverty, realizes that they are miles from God, and realizes that someone must come to their aid. When a person gets to that point, when you realize you're a sinner, man, you're in good shape. Because you won't seek a Savior unless you realize you're a sinner. Oh, I'm not a sinner. Oh, yes, you are. And I am too. Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. It's me. I'm the chiefest of sinners he came to save. Blind and destitute. But he was also insignificant. You think about Bartimaeus' problem. He's blind. And And whether he had heard that Jesus was coming into town or not, he may have. I suspect this is where he was always sitting, and Jesus just happened, right, to pass by. But if Jesus is passing by and you're blind and you hear a big commotion, what are you going to do? You can't run up to him and grab him. You're in a sense lost. There is a great difficulty there because you got to remember, Jesus is going through Jericho. He's on his way to Jerusalem. The next chapter gives us the triumphal entry, all right? The crowds are already picking up. There's probably a whole lot of people saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. They're already praising him. They're loud and they're boisterous. Even if he's able to raise his voice, Jesus probably won't hear. That's what he's thinking in his mind. I had a dream, and I'm not giving you a prophecy, all right? Just hang on. Hang with me here. I had a dream a couple of nights ago, and it's real strange. Sometimes we don't know why we dream the things we do other than our mind's just goofy. But I dreamed I was standing out in a yard, and I saw a truck backing up, and there was a person in the road in the path of the truck. And I was a great distance away so that I couldn't have run up and done anything. And I kept yelling, watch out. I kept yelling, watch out, stop. And the driver of the truck didn't hear me. And the person standing in the road didn't hear me. And I felt so helpless. And the guy in the truck hit the individual. And then as dreams go, the guy was just perfectly fine. But nevertheless, it was a very helpless feeling that I was crying. You ever been there trying to get someone's attention? Or maybe you were like me in high school and you missed the bus with great frequency. And you're yelling and you're raising your voice and you're doing everything in your power to get, but you can't do it. You're so small. You're so insignificant. That was Bartimaeus' condition. But I can promise you that Jesus hears the cry of the needy, regardless of how loud other voices may be. There were many shouts of praise on that day. There was a lot of commotion, a lot of noise around Jesus, but there's one guy crying out for mercy, and everything stops, and Jesus looks around. I can promise you this morning, there's a lot of voices here this morning. But if you cry out to him for mercy, none of the other voices will impede his ability to hear you. I've had many people testify to me that when they got saved, they think that it was just them in that room. And in some respects, it was. You cry out to him, and I promise you, he will hear you. He hears the cry of the needy. Isaiah 59 and verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. That's his condition. But notice his petition. Verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. It's not just any day. Jesus is passing by this day, and he had heard that it was Jesus. Perhaps someone had told him of all the wonderful things Jesus had done. Perhaps someone said, hey, Bartimaeus, Jesus is coming through Jericho, and it wasn't that long ago that he healed a blind guy in this other city. You remember hearing stories about the crazy guy in the Gadarenes that had all the devils? Jesus healed that guy. And he's a missionary in that area now. Bartimaeus, it's Jesus. And Bartimaeus hears about this, and he knows that's his opportunity to get help. So So notice how what he says, how he begins to cry out. He says, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." He's just sitting there as he always has, and it's a normal day. He's got his cloak spread out. He's hoping for some money. All of a sudden, he hears that it's Jesus, and he begins to cry out, "Jesus, thou Son of David." Now, how did he know Jesus was the Son of David? And what significance is it? It is significant because it is messianic. That is, he had an understanding through some means that Jesus was the Son of David. And that meant he was the Messiah. 2 Samuel chapter 7, a prophecy regarding Solomon, David's son, but also Christ. He said, 2 Samuel 7 verse 12, "And when thy days shall be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed after out of thy bowels, and I will establish my kingdom. He shall build an house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." Psalm 110, the psalmist David said, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit on thy right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." Somehow, Bartimaeus understood these things and knew Jesus was the Son of David. You know, it may be that he had a godly mother or a father that taught him these things when he was growing up. I sat in, was it the kindergarten kids Wednesday? First and second. Oh, I didn't think, okay. I apologize to any of the kids who were in that class. I didn't. And so we're teaching and they're coloring, or Terry's teaching and they're coloring and I'm watching. That's how that was going. And I'm thinking, man, I don't know if these kids are even paying attention. I don't know if they understand anything. So I began to ask some questions, and they were like, "Oh, yeah, Jesus is blood." And they just like, "Well, how in the world did they just do that?" What I'm telling you is they get it. They hear. They understand what they're being taught. Bartimaeus, by some means, understood that Jesus was the Messiah, and this meant that he was the one that could save. This meant that Jesus is the one that Bartimaeus needed to reach out to. And he was appealing to the lordship of Christ. He was letting Jesus know, "I understand who you are. I believe in you as the Messiah. And I want to receive my sight." But I don't think that's all he had in mind, because he was appealing to Jesus as the Messiah. But then he also says, "Have mercy on me." The story is told of a mother that appealed to Napoleon for a pardon for her son. And she was asking Napoleon to show mercy, and Napoleon said, "Your son doesn't deserve mercy." And she said, "That's true, and it wouldn't be mercy if he deserved it." And so he was pardoned. He, in this crying for mercy, he understood the Lord's power. But he also understood his own predicament. Throughout the Psalms, David said, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord." It is a cry that reveals his understanding that he is undeserving. He's not entitled to anything. He realizes he's a sinner. He realizes he's destitute. He realizes that he has nothing in and of himself that would cause him to lay claim on the Savior, except that Christ shows mercy. But as he is crying out for mercy, there's a problem, because he's bothering everybody else that's trying to follow Jesus. You're in the way, Bartimaeus. This is not how things are supposed to go.
That's not the order of service, Bartimaeus.
Right? You're messing things up. We're trying to praise Jesus and you're over here making a ruckus and trying to get the Lord's attention. Just be quiet so we can praise him. What backwards way of thinking. And you know, I don't know what your need is this morning. Maybe you struggle with assurance. Maybe you're here and you know you're not a Christian. But I can tell you this, that if you desire Christ and you desire to be forgiven, you desire to know him, that's not going to be a road without bumps in the road. It's not going to be a road without distractions. There'll be plenty of people that distract you, but if that's the case, you need to do the same thing that Bartimaeus did. Look at what he did. Verse number 48, and many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." I was building a fence one time, and this lady, the homeowner, had a dog, and I don't remember what kind of dog he was. He's one of them ankle biter dogs, real small. But he had one of them shock collars on that's supposed to keep a dog from barking. And we're building the fence, and the dog sees something in the road that just absolutely bothers him. I don't know what it was, but he cuts loose to barking, you know, rah, 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 rah. And you could hear the shock collar do whatever it was doing, and he would, rah, 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 rah. I mean, it would shock him, and he would shake it off and just bark even more. And Bartimaeus is doing the same thing. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You need to be quiet. Jesus, thou son of David. He just gets louder and makes a bigger fuss. What is he doing? He is striving to enter the kingdom. He is making effort. Luke 13 and verse 24, the Bible says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. You think about that verse for just a moment. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Strive, make every effort. That's what J.C. Ryle said about it. Make every effort. Now, listen, I understand that God is sovereign in our salvation, and trust me, I believe that. But I also believe Scripture says, seek, and it shall be opened, or seek, and ye shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. You know, it's alarming to me. When you talk to someone that knows they're not saved, and it's as if they're just sitting there waiting on God to save them. I'm serious. I've talked to people like that. And most of the time when I tell them, if I were you, I'd read the Gospels every day. I'd pray for God to reveal himself to me. I'd beg God to save me. And they look at me like a goat eating briars. Like I'm giving them some outlandish advice. No, what I'm asking you is, are you making effort? Wouldn't just sit around and wait, hoping for a lightning bolt to jump out of the sky. It will, but if I'm lost, I ain't sitting around waiting on it. You know what I do? I'd read, just like I said, I'd read the Gospels every day. I'd pray for him to reveal himself to me. I'd be in church every opportunity I got. I'd listen to all the preaching I could listen to. Man, I would do everything in my power. I would strive to enter in. If you're here lost this morning, are you making any effort? Now, you can't save yourself. I'm not saying that. Believe me, I'm not saying that. If you are saved, it is because God has done a work in your heart. It is God that regenerates the sinner. But if we could look at it another way, parents, are you making effort to see that your children come to know the Lord? Oh, yeah. We take them to church 3 times a year. That's not much effort. We got to move on. His cries got the attention of the Savior. And then in verse 49, Bartimaeus is causing problems. He's crying out. In verse 49, Jesus stood still, got his attention, and commanded him to be called. Man, let me tell you something. It's one thing for you to call out on him, but it's a whole another story when he calls you. 1 Peter says that you are a chosen generation. Let me actually find that verse. I'll misquote it. 1 Peter chapter 2, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do you remember the day that he called you? That he spoke your name. And here he says he stops in his tracks. And I love this part. He tells the same people that are telling Bartimaeus to be quiet. He tells them, you go get him and tell him to come to me. You know, if people are to hear the gospel, do you know how they're going to hear it? By us telling them. You think they're going to wake up in the morning and have John 3:16 written in the skies? I mean, that'd be great. That'd be a more faithful witness than sometimes we are. Sometimes I am. Go tell him. Man, if he calls you, listen. If he calls you, if he speaks to your heart, you better obey him. You better listen to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. You better run to him. My brother-in-law, before he got saved, was wicked as a day is long. And he tells me, he's told me this numerous times, that he believes the night he got saved was his last chance. And I don't know about that. I can't verify why he feels that way or if that's even true. Part of me wants to say that's not true. But what I do know is that my brother-in-law, John Morgan, felt the urgency of his soul that day. So those people, they tell Bartimaeus, rise, be of good comfort. He calls you. You can be happy. You can be cheerful. So Bartimaeus, every day of his life, he has this cloak. This is everything, right? He goes to sleep at night, and he's using it for a cover or a pillow. It provides him protection from the sun during the day. He spreads it out to sit on during the day while he's begging. That is probably all that Bartimaeus has to his name. and it's probably ragged and stinky, and it's probably not anything any of us would want. But Jesus calls for Bartimaeus, and Scripture says he leaves it there. Look at verse number 50. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now, why would a blind man that needs his garment for everything, why would he toss it aside? Because he's not going to need it anymore. Because he is about to meet the one that can restore his sight. And so this thing that he's holding on to, he is now going to let go because he is going to embrace Christ. And I don't know what your condition is this morning. I don't know what your need is. And I don't know what it is you're holding on to that may prevent you from reaching out to Christ. But I'm telling you, lay it aside and run to him. And so Jesus asked him a question. Basically, what would you have me do? Verse 51. Very similar to what he asked James and John. But Bartimaeus simply says, Lord, verse 51, that I might receive my sight. Matthew 7 and verse 8, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. You show me a sinner that desires to be saved that Jesus wouldn't save. You show me one. No, not one. You might find some that want to get out of hell free card. But Jesus isn't in the business of providing fire insurance. He's in the business of saving souls. Nicodemus cries out, or Bartimaeus cries out, and Jesus says to him, verse 52, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. He is immediately healed. Colossians 1 and verse 13 says, he hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. What a change that is. And so he follows Jesus. That's what you do when he heals you. You follow him. So what is your greatest need today? I think too often when we think of our greatest need, we think of physical things. Mike and I were joking a couple nights ago, and both saying, you know, if the Lord would make us millionaires, we'd honor the Lord with it. We'd give to people. And we were joking. But you know what? That's not what we need. But we have a long list of things we think we need. But if you will be honest with yourself as Bartimaeus was, and you will come to Jesus as Bartimaeus did, you will find a compassionate Savior who hears the cry of the needy. Come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and you will find rest. He is a compassionate and a willing Savior. I don't know what your need is this morning. If you're not saved, he will save you. Or maybe there's another burden on your heart. If you cry out to him, he will be there. What's your greatest need? Father, we're thankful for your word. Thankful for your people. We're thank you for the lesson that blind Bartimaeus teaches us. That, Lord, you are our greatest need. And if we cry out to you in faith and humility, you will hear. Touch hearts this morning. Encourage your people. That one that is holding on to some need, I pray that you would help them give that to you this morning. The one that may be here and does not know you as Savior, I pray that today they would come to know you. Help us now. Give us faith to believe you. In Jesus' name, amen. If the Lord has spoken to your heart, you do business with him. You pray and seek him, and if you need me to help you pray, it would be my honor.
Hymn number 318. Let's stand.
Have you failed in your plan of your storm-tossed life? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Are you weary and worn from its toil and strife? Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. He will keep to the end. He's your dear.